Sometimes he leans in a little. When he leans in a little, you know, there's a scripture that talks about his eye roving around. And when his eye shows up, you're on the deck. You know, his presence, when he touches in, it's delightful but overwhelming and convicting, but in a good way. And so, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in three songs, take the offering, shake your neighbor's hand, hear a little word, and go on to a life of loneliness or whatever, or self-made. That's not the kingdom of God. His ways are higher. His ways are higher. Now, I know there's some people who are struggling financially. I'm going to just tell you a couple things. When I met Jesus, some of you know my story, some of you don't. When I met him, I realized everything in my life was plastic. I had met the real living God. I didn't know you could meet him this side of earth. I thought you had to die and then maybe go to heaven. I wasn't sure if you hung out there. I didn't know. I had no doctrine on any of that. And what happened to me was he rocked me. He turned my life upside down and inside out because I asked him to. And I went from living the American dream, which is a lie, and it's fake, but I was living that system and upholding it by my own two hands, and walking in the fake blessings, you know, the carnalness, and I made a decision, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Whatever's not of you, I don't want anything to do with. And because I said that, and that's not for everyone to say, because it'll rock you. It'll wreck you to the place where you're on the floor and just in him and waiting for him to help you because you're desperate for him and you don't care about the other stuff. It's distractions. And so in my case, it didn't happen overnight. A hurricane didn't come in and blow all my stuff out. It was a life of dying to my dreams, my false identities, my brokenness, and my walls of protection. No one's going to get me. No one can hurt me. I've built this fortress, which was cracking and had been. And so you put a little mortar here and a little spackle there and paint it so nobody notices. But then that one day when I met Jesus, let her rip. And so it's been let her rip ever since. So I went from lots of money in the bank, lots of properties, lots of houses, lots of toys. The people, you know, I was living a fake life and you know, serving in the church on the women's ministry, kids ministry, whatever, you know, helps to be seen, not to be serving the king. And conviction, but not in condemnation, in life. And so in learning to trust, is this you, Lord? Is this you? And his ways are higher, and he would give me scriptures to lean on, not my own understanding. And practice these out, daily practice them out. And so slowly the empire that I built began to crumble. And in that brokenness, I found his beauty because the distractions were gone. Now, I'm not saying you have to lose everything, but you might have to lose everything. You know, that's between you and the Lord and the timing of the Lord. But I'm telling you, we're in a time where everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And if there's something being shaken in your house, did you build it? And if you didn't, let it go. Release it to the Lord and ask him for his blessing. Now, his ways are higher than our ways, and so sometimes we try to think, well, it's going to be this way. If I let this go, then I'm going to get that. No, you're not. If you let your backslidden husband go, you're not going to get some Christian husband who's better than him. I'm just saying. That is a work of the flesh, and it's a thought of the flesh, and it'll bring destruction. So, I had nothing, but I had everything. I had the Holy Ghost, who's more real, more powerful than any force that's operating in this earth. And he began to teach me the walk of the Spirit, a lifestyle in faith, and believing that God is really God, and he's a good God. So I went from having $100 bills in my pocket to nothing. I went from a bank account to no bank account. I went from owning houses to having to look for a place to live. I was forced, I was forced. I was forced to make a choice, choose God or stay where you're at. And it was a no-brainer. When you meet the King, he will put everything in his right order if we stay in him. And I'm going to tell you, I remember years ago I would sow. He would tell me, because I knew how to sow. I just did. Even though I didn't know how it operated. But he would say, go sow a $100 bill to so-and-so. And so I would go put it on this, lady who's going through a divorce. I'd stick it in her car, like on her console, so she couldn't miss it. Not say nothing. Did that more than one time. Different places, different things. I never told anybody about it, but the day came when I'd put on a coat and I'd reach in my pocket and there'd be a $100 bill. I'm going to tell you something. That coat was in my closet. It wasn't sitting in the church where somebody could stick a $100 bill in my pocket. And I knew, somehow I knew, that the Lord is taking care of me. And it was because I sowed when he told me to sow. There was obedience there. Now, I also was disobedient in times with my local church. I'm not giving them that. I got a bill to pay. Faith is exercised when we are obedient to what the Holy Spirit says and the Word of God says. When it doesn't look in the natural like things are going to work out, that's the best time. Because you're on the verge of being stretched, and then more flexibility comes in the spirit, and the spirit muscle. And so, there's the resistance. You push through the resistance, and then there it is. And so, we're in a season where we're going to see many signs and wonders, lots of supernatural multiplication. It's always been there, and we can see it throughout history from the beginning of time. But somehow there's been a delay or a cap on and a deafening and a darkness over the veil of many believers. I know one thing. My God's full of life, and I believe him. And I try with my heart, and I don't get it right all the time, but I do try to please him. And I don't ever take an offering out of convenience or out of duty or out of program. I do it out of the heart of the Father. He's giving us an opportunity. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't. But he's looking for your obedience, and he's looking for the condition of your heart. Years ago, I used to help out at Edgar and Holly services. I would do anything. I just wanted to be in the presence of the King. And I would, me, who never wanted to be around people, I'd get there early, I'd sit in the back because I could feel the presence so strong, and he would just come on me. And then after it was over, I'd stay in the back while Holly was praying for everybody up front, and I would just linger. I'd be the last one. I'd be the doorkeeper. Let me be the doorkeeper. Let me stay. I don't care about anything else but your presence. And when you're in his presence, it changes you. It changes you. And so through obedience, it brings revelation and blessings. And so over the times, God has sat with me and taught me how his kingdom works with finances, with seed, time, and harvest. And one time, I was receiving the offering at a healing conference that Edgar and Holly did in Kenosha. I'll never forget it. It was years ago. And the Lord let me see, as I was bringing the basket, people's hearts. And it was stunning. Stunning. And you could see some people were so full of, oh Lord, you've got everything, I'm giving you my all. And there was others who were like, I'm going to put a dollar in because I want it to look like I just put a $100 bill in. I'm not trying to bring conviction or condemnation, but listen, we have to deal with our hearts. And if there's something blocking our hearts, If you're struggling in poverty, there's a reason, and it's not because God is withholding from you. He has released everything. You know, Holly did a series called Solutions, How Things Work in the Kingdom of God. Life-giving. There's a whole section in there about finances. Powerful stuff. And so, as I was walking and continue to walk with the Lord, you know, there was a season when I had nothing but supernatural faith, which brought me everything. And I mean that. I would say, Lord, I need to get this piece of carpet moved into the basement. This is when I had to rent a house. I mean, I owned homes at that time, but I had to go rent a house. I had to help a lady fill out a rental application. She didn't even know how. Was that humiliating? No. But if I was in the wrong mind, it could have been. I knew God picked that house for me. I didn't even have money for a deposit for that house. I didn't even have first month's rent. It was all taken. But God opened that door. God opens doors. And no man's going to shut them when he opens them. And I'm telling you something. Even when I was going through that, I was court-ordered not to tithe. Court-ordered not to tithe. And I said, Lord, what do you say? What do you say? And you know what he says. Give. A good measure. So I gave them all, because I already gave them all. What's the, you know, here's the lint, if you want the lint too. We do find lint sometimes in our offering baskets. We find, well, hallelujah. See, it's the heart of the giving. It's not so much the amount, it's the heart. And see, when you give from your heart, you're entrusted with a bigger measure. But you have to start. I started pretty much in poverty. And supernaturally, provision came. One point in time, the cupboards were empty. But the Lord said, do not go into the government system. Be careful of the spirit of entitlement. Now, why did he tell me that? Because it was knocking at my door in the natural. I said, Lord, thank you. Help me. What shall I do? And what did he say? Donate all these trinkets and objects that are worth money to the food pantry. I'm like, and I don't wait. Here's the thing. If you wait, then the enemy comes and tries to steal that seed. So it's Saturday night, probably 7 o'clock at night, if I had a guess. I load up my car with all this beautiful, expensive junk. And I'm going to put it in the shed. You know, they all have a shed where you can donate your goods, and then I don't know if they give them to people or resell them. I don't care. So I'm throwing all the stuff, not throwing, but putting it all in there one by one, big old carload of stuff. And a lady comes out. Now, it's 7 o'clock at night. The place isn't open. And she ran the place. And she said to me, why are you putting all this nice stuff into the shed? And I said, because the Lord told me to. She goes, why don't you let me sell it for you? I said, you can do whatever you want with it, but I don't want nothing to do with it. I am releasing it. And she looked at me and she said, you need food? And I said, well, yes, I do. And she says, come in and take anything you want. She goes, you have to fill out this paperwork. I said, no, I won't. I'm not filling out the paperwork because I don't care. The Lord said, don't get in a system. So, oh, okay, just take the food you want then. I said, hey, I got another load. I'm going to bring another load. And I did. I brought the next load. Never saw the lady again. Never needed the food. God provided for my family when there was no way. Not the government. And how come he did that? Because he told me to give my junk, which was treasures, in the earth away. Now, I could have said, Lord, that don't make no sense. I'm going to list it all on eBay and I'm going to make blah, 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 blah. But his ways are higher. And so that's why it's important to develop a giving, living relationship. When you give yourself to him, he gives you him. When you sow love and kindness, his goodness, his compassion and mercy will overtake you. Are you cranky? Irritable? Sow love. How do you do it? Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him for the grace to be kind to your neighbor. You shy? Ask him for the boldness of the lion of Judah. See, there's an exchange. We got to come up higher because there's supernatural provision. There are storehouses in heaven waiting. They're filled. They're waiting for you to tap. But it requires faith. And so that's one of the reasons why we have offerings, to give an opportunity to sow in faith a seed unto him. Because he's worthy. Because he's holy. Because he created you in his image. He forgave you of all your sins. We can never outgive him. And so tonight I see, or today I see the hearts in here. And I saw some that were a little, but I saw the love of God just open. I praise Jesus for the Holy Ghost and the revelation that he's releasing. Because you were wondering, what's up? Well, there it is. He just answered. So if you would like to sow into the kingdom of God, you want to sow a love offering or a first fruit or whatever the Lord's telling you to do, sow in faith and believe. Sow in faith and believe. First it's faith, and then life. If you need to make out a check, make it out to Spirit of God. If you want to give by credit card, raise your hand and Kina will come around. And when you sow, don't just throw your money in a basket. You're presenting it to the King of Kings. It's a holy thing. It's a worship. It's a form of worship. And he doesn't forget. You know, we tend to forget. He never forgets a seed. And a seed sown in the Spirit cannot corrupt. So when the enemy does try, get out in the name of Jesus. You know that scripture, he'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Not us. He rebukes the devourer on our behalf. There's so much stuff that tries to come, but it's already been rebuked because we've got the wall of protection. His name is Jesus Christ. We've got the kingdom of God, which can't be shaken. Thank you, Father. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you so much. We love how you created us in your image. And I feel that you are taking us higher in your presence today. I feel like you've paved the way and made the path straight, where there's a clear line of, yes, Lord, we will choose you. We will follow you with all our heart. We thank you for supernatural provision. We thank you that you are not limited to the resources in this earth because you created the resources in the earth. And we are created in your image. And so therefore we respectfully lift this up, this offering, and we ask you to bless it. We ask you to multiply it. We ask you to bring the fruit forward. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Lord, we love you so much. You did pay the price. We receive everything that you are releasing and have already released. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. teach us, Holy Spirit, how to receive. You know, when the Lord woke me up very early this morning, earlier than I expected, and I stayed up and started praying. And normally when I wake up, I like to lay and rest in Him for a while, and this was a different morning. And I sensed a little battle in the spirit, and so I dealt with that. And then I went and sat in a chair, and I was just resting in Him. And He reminded me of a few things and asked me to share them today. And so I said, okay, I will. And a few people came up to me this morning and said, you know, I had a problem, and could you talk about this? And I said, you know, the Lord already said He was going to talk about this. So I love how He knows, you know, old little sparrow who thinks they have no food, you know, God knows. And when you ask Him the desires of your heart or you have questions, He will find a way to answer them. It's always in the Word, waiting for us to pick it up, but sometimes we don't exercise that muscle, and we would rather go to a person who we think may have the answer. And I just want you to weigh every answer that you get from a person, because there's a lot of false teaching out there, or a lot of people who have had experiences, but then they bring their emotions and their thoughts and their ideas, which is of the flesh, and we know that anything of the flesh is corrupt. And in fact, in the presence, it burns up. It can't stand. And so there are people who have a need to be needed. And I know one person who will meet your needs. The rest is counterfeit. And so I know there's broken people all around the world that have had horrible things happen to them and have gone through stuff that no one can talk about. They cannot talk about it. And they're doing the best they can because they don't know anything else to do. And I know that their day of visitation is there for them if they keep pressing in. I know that. But I also see many people running around in the body of Christ acting as if they got it together and are ministering from someone else's teachings, which could be helpful. It could point you to a key to your victory, but ultimately your victory is in Jesus Christ. And it happens with the revelation of the Word becoming alive in you, and then it's like a mark in the spirit, a mark in your soul, and you just know. And then when that the attack or the enemy or the thought tries to come at you, you've established, it's been firmly established in your foundation, and you can say, no, it is written, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Devil, go in the name of Jesus. And so the Bible also warns us about false teachers in the body, you know, sitting next to us. Yikes! You know, they're in our congregation, they're in our love fest, they're, you know, they're hidden reefs, you know. Listen, we need to develop the gift that God gave us of discernment. Every one of us has that gift from Jesus. And how do you grow that gift? Through exercise. And so, how do you exercise the gift of discernment? Lord, what do you say about this? Holy Spirit, what's up with this? I'm seeing this weird thing. Could you teach me about this, please? It's the faster way to victory. I'm not so sure, Lord, if this is you. Could you confirm this? Yes, look at Luke 10:19. You know, He'll give you. If you start to talk to Him, He will open your ears. They're open, but you'll dial in the sensitivity to hearing Him clearer. And so We're in a season where the works of the flesh are being exposed in such a way, and it's not because it's just that's where we're at, you know. There's a line, it's clear, left, right, and I don't mean political, I mean you're in or you're not. And half-hearted people are going to be left behind struggling, and that is part of the earth curse system. The blessed will be living in him. All my needs have been met in him. Past tense. So this morning, well, I should just tell you, you know, last night we have, we have more people in the hotel. It was nice and quiet the first night, and the second night there was more people. Well, you know, when people come, they tend to bring their baggage with them. Spiritually speaking, we all have baggage. We all need deliverance, and some people are oppressed, some people are possessed, and last night. Right before I was, I'm not sure if I was asleep. I don't think I was. Right before I was asleep, I was seeing a lot of weird demonic activity. And when I saw that, I didn't right away get up and start praying in tongues and, you know, declaring. I just watched. I don't engage unless the Lord tells me to engage. I don't engage unless they provoke me or violate my space. And so I just watched, and I thought, oh yeah, there's people here, there's more people. That's what I'm seeing, this weird stuff, and I hadn't seen it before. And so, I don't know, in the middle of the night, I'm sleeping, and all of a sudden, I see a demonic spirit standing over my bed. And it was so close to me, it was looking at me like, and I went, ah! Because I was like, whoa, and I'm like, the blood of Jesus, get out in the name of Jesus, you have no authority. And that thing left as fast as it came. I think it was curious. I think it was a very immature imp that has no power, but they roam looking for who they can devour. And so I want to talk to you. I mean, I dealt with that in my sleep, so to speak. You can get so good that you can just open your eye and if they see you, they'll run. I'm telling you the truth. We do not have to be afraid of demons. Because you know why? Because God gave us authority. And so he took me to Luke this morning. And I'm going to read Luke 10, 18, and 19, and 20. And so he's talking to the guys that he sent out, his buddies. And he said, and they came back and they were so excited. Remember, they had the good report. And they're like, even the demons submit to us. Wahoo! And he said, this is Jesus speaking. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Stripped. Behold, he's telling us, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, so we don't play with the devils. We don't, well, he's telling me to go here. We don't map their strategies. We don't entangle in the enemy's camp. We entangle and entwine is a better word, in the Holy Ghost. And from him and in him it is, and you are, and it shall be done according to what you speak. Some of you need to start taking authority over your house, your spiritual house, your natural house, your physical body. And while I was in worship, the Lord reminded me of this teaching set called Victorious in Battle. This is a powerhouse right here. This is a four-part teaching, and it talks about how to rule and reign. Who needs this? Amen. I'm sowing that into you because I want to see the harvest. We talked earlier, when the Lord received the offering, He reminded me that some of you are struggling. You want to be free. You want to have faith. You want to know how to do the things that Jesus did. But you're still living in the mindset of lack and poverty. And I said, Holly has a series back there that says how things work in the kingdom and what to do when they don't. You know, her mind was given, it's a gift from the Lord. She has the mind like nobody I've ever met before, and I am blessed to sit under her teaching. Her gifting is different than my gifting. I love her gifting because I'm one of those people, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. You know, I have simple faith. I'm not the one that says, well, I kind of am now, but now I'm asking more how things work. Before I was just like, okay, I believe. I have childlike faith. And so I would do what her teachings say to do. I would leave and I'd say, Lord, what do you say about that? But he wouldn't give me these big long things because I think I wasn't ready for those big long things. He would just say, what's on a dollar bill? I'd go, I don't know. And I'd pull out a dollar bill, in God we trust. And then boom, into my heart, I'd be, oh, I'm not trusting God. You know, he had a way of convicting me in a gentle way, which would bring repentance, correction, direction, and provision. And so we gave these away a while back, and this is part of that set. Who in here is struggling with finances and would like financial systems? Are you walking in the blessings? Keep a track, so because we got to mark this in our system. The way out is to educate yourself with a living word that'll speak to your heart, because it'll pop inside of you. You already have it. I remember one time when I was walking out, remember I was talking about, you know, I had nothing. I mean, I had a bag of quarters. I had a laundromat in one of my apartment buildings, and so I'd always stack the quarters in these things, and that's all I had for a long time. And then that ran out, and, you know. Anyway, I remember Edgar said to me one day, it was in the summer, and see, the Lord's dealing with me. You know, he's dealing with me because I'm like, Lord, what am I missing? Lord, help me. You know, I'm pressing in, Lord, teach me about faith. Lord, how does this work? And if you have issues in your heart that you don't know because they're hidden deep in your heart, maybe false belief systems so deep you don't even know they're there, and then pop, it comes out of your mouth. You ever have that happen? Yeah. It happened the other day with one of our helpers. You know, it just came out, you know, something, and she's like, and I'm sure she went and dealt with it with the Lord. It wasn't to convict, it was to bring life and freedom. And so in my case, I had sandals on and my toenails weren't painted. And Edgar says to me, if you knew Edgar, why aren't your toenails painted? You know? He didn't say, oh, sweet honey, why aren't you? He's like, why aren't your toenails painted? Just a matter of fact. And I'm like, because I'm poor. And when that popped out of my heart, I'm like, whoa, I didn't even know I thought I was poor. Right. Where'd that come from? Out of my heart. And so what I ended up doing is going to the Lord, and I repented. I said, Lord, I am so sorry. That is not of you. I break those words in the name of Jesus. I ask you to teach me, and boy has he, and he still continues, because his resources are everlasting. They're never ending. And if you think you got it, you don't. You're only a baby. We're all babies. Every day his revelation is new. And so I'm encouraging you to press in with the Holy Spirit, your teacher. He leads and guides you in all truth. He's your mentor. He'll show you the way. You got issues? We all have issues. But go to him. Stop dressing them up. Stop putting lipstick on them. Stop putting a tie on it. And say, look it. You know, it's called man up. Man up. Man up. Look in the mirror. Is that too tough?
No, that's really
here.
Good.
You want my perfume? You want to cover it up again? No. No. We have to deal with the issues of the heart. The Lord is calling us to be pure and holy vessels, consecrated to him for his good pleasure, not ours.
Come on.
It ain't about us, it's about him and what he's doing in the earth. You know who he's doing it for? The beloved. The beloved. We're all beloved, but there's still some outside swinging on the poles and hanging out there in places. And the Bible talks about snatch them that you can out of the fire. You ever snatch someone out of the fire? It's frightening. Be careful about judging another man's walk and when they're at. I have repented many, 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 many times. Because when you judge, there's a wedge. And then the enemy gets to use you to enforce distance from the love of God.
Wow.
God's calling us to purity. I got correction this morning. I love when he corrects me. It brings fruit, it brings life, it brings everything good.
Yes.
Lord, you got to help me. I'm willing. Will you help me? I'm agreeing. You're right. I see that. Is it huge sin? No. It's the little splinters. It's the stuff in our heart that is so deep that when we get pressed, it comes out. I'm done with milk. I need the living waters. I'm tired of somebody else feeding me. I drink from his vine. Am I special? Nope. Did I fall all the time? Yep. But my heart is, Lord, you got to help me. I'm a mess. Lord, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. Here I am again, Lord. I got waylaid. Help me, Father. But I don't go into condemnation. We have to beat condemnation. It's a devil. It's not of the Lord. It'll stop you from entering into receiving the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus, and the mentorship of the Holy Ghost, because you yield to the wrong source. If that's you, renounce agreement. Condemnation, you have no hold in my life anymore. You foul devil, go in the name of Jesus. You know, on a Wednesday night, we say that out loud. No one's struggling with it. Okay. Liars. You want to do it?
Yeah. Let's do it out loud.
Condemnation.
Condemnation.
Go.
Go.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You have no authority,
you have no authority
over my life.
Over my life.
I break every word and curse
that's been spoke over me.
And I believe
God's word is true.
Amen. Now if that thing tries to come back, get out in the name of Jesus. Don't just think it in your head, well, get out in the name of Jesus. Speak the word with authority. That devil has to bow to the words of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Okay.
That teaching is available on the download too, on the website, Victorious in Battle. Powerful teaching. Powerful. Some of you have it sitting on your bookshelves, kind of like old vitamins that have tucked away and are covered in dust. Pull it out. We're in a season where we need to know who we are and whose we are. So the Lord took me into the Psalms this morning, which I love. And I'm going to read you a psalm, part of Psalm 103. Y'all know it. I'm pretty sure most of us know it. But there's a key in here I want to share with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you, your life, from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Selah. Then, further down on verse 19, The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. That is good news. But I want to go back to the first verse. You know, we hear this and we think, oh, he forgives all my iniquities. Yay! He heals all my diseases. Hallelujah! He's healing all my diseases. But the very first part is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. Have you come to the point where you are blessing him with everything that's in you? Have you ever come into a place in him where, Lord, you're so good. You know, it's this heart-to-heart, this love affair, this he's so good, you realize how good he is. If not, this is a doorway. And how do you start? Bless the Lord. That opens the doorway. There's a key there. Bless the Lord. Lord, I bless you. Lord, your blessings are forever. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and kindness. You know, I was sitting in the worship this morning, and the Lord reminded me of Edgar when he was here on earth. And he, right before he'd get up to speak, you know, oftentimes I would hear... Who remembers? And it used to drive me crazy. And you know, you ask God a question, it may take how many years later, but he gave me the answer today. And you know what he told me? He said, Edgar lives in me and worships me all the time. This video is nothing. You know, he was in a love affair with Jesus. It wasn't he entered in and entered out. He stayed in. He was praising Jesus all the time. He'd get up to go to the bathroom. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I praise you. Just on and on and on. You'd find him in the chair, and his Bible would be like, like this. And he'd just be praising Jesus or loving on Jesus. You know, and dumb carnal me would be like, what is he doing? You know? I'm like, doesn't he feel the presence? He's living in the presence. Where I was just dabbling. Oh, I feel the wind of God. Yeah, he's in God, you know? And so I started laughing because God is so wonderful. Yes. And he's calling us all in to greater oneness with him. And as I was praying this morning, well, I should probably start with last night, I saw, you know, wasn't last night really powerful? We're going to probably do testimonies in the afternoon session. We don't know. It just says meet here at this time. And but anyway, I was tucked away and having a marvelous time with my father. You know, sometimes he'll say, hang low, watch the room, blah, 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 take care of stuff. But he's like, come away. So I went away, and I was spending time in the Father. And all of a sudden, I was like, thump, back into the room, and I, in the spirit, and I was looking, and I saw somebody troubled under spiritual attack. And there's this thing that happens. It's not me, it's the Holy Ghost. And I was like, you know, and I saw, Lord, I waited. I didn't go deal with anything, because you got to be led by the Spirit of the living God, or you'll do damage to people, because then it's flesh. And who wants flesh? I want supernatural. I want every good blessing that he has. I want a limb to grow out. I want bones to be healed. I want people to come alive in Christ. And so I just stood on alert and watched in the spirit. And some of you were probably like, what's she doing? She's giving that person a dirty look. No, I wasn't. You know, I was like zoned in the Holy Ghost, and I can't help it. It's like a Holy Ghost takeover. You know, it just happens, and it freaks people out sometimes. But if you know me, you get used to it. And then you're not so weirded out. But I just can't help it. It's an intensity that comes on because God's doing something. And when I went over, and the Lord's like, just put your hand. And so I put my hand on the back, and I saw like this package coming from heaven. But it wasn't released yet. So I just put my hand on, and I don't know why or when or what, but then I finally saw the thing that God was doing go in. And it was like a container. And when it landed, I saw this foul spirit go and take off. And sometimes you see them and sometimes you don't. You just know by faith. And I could feel the deep peace of God, like just, like, think of paint going all over the place, you know, just filling in the crevices. And then that was it. And I was like, okay, hallelujah. Well, this morning I was in my prayer at time, and I saw that healing is released in the room. You know, he wants to release healing, physical healings. He was reminding me of some things. And I love faith. You know, faith is a substance, and it's wonderful, and it does a mighty work through God. You know, and there's many different kinds. And I want to share a couple things to help you guys walk in victory when the enemy knock, knock, knocks on your door. And because sometimes he catches us off guard. Sometimes he just flat out attacks and we didn't see it coming. Kind of like, you know, when somebody tries to take your knees, you know, cuts behind you. And so I don't like to focus on the devil. I like to focus on victory. So I won't go into, why do you think, I don't care. I just know Jesus heals. I don't care why, but I know Jesus does. And so I want to share a couple things because, like I said earlier, I grew up not knowing anything about anything. But I sat in Edgar and Holly's meetings, and I watched creative miracles. I watched the presence just overtake and deliver people and bring and words from heaven just flow and just wash people away. And I've seen shame washed away. I've seen all kinds of wonderful things that the Lord is doing. And for some reason, I believe. And because I believe, I think I see more. I don't know, but remember I said it, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to be on medicine? You know, I thought you were supposed to get old and then, you know, hope you lend somewhere. Maybe you got to buy it. I didn't know, you know. And so in my case, you know, I came into those services and I had asthma. I had high cholesterol. I had a blood disorder. I had a migraine headache. And I think I had a couple other things. I don't remember. And I got healing and everything. And when I got healed of my asthma, that was actually a foul spirit that was living in my lungs. And it started to manifest in the presence. The presence was real heavy, and I started going, I couldn't breathe. The thing was, you know, a lot of times we see healings just happen because his presence is here, and it heals. And some devils just leave because they can't handle his presence. And I mean, we've seen recreative miracles of body parts in his presence. And it's nothing we do. It's him doing it. And so this one day, it's like, I'm believing that healing is for me, and I'm like, one of us is going down. And it might be me. I might end up in a hospital. I don't know. And I was shy back then. I thought, please, I don't want to draw attention, but I can't breathe. And I was actually with my friend Mary at that time, and I'm being strangled in my lungs, and I'm very uncomfortable, and I'm thinking I might pass out. I might not make it to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom, and all of a sudden, I expelled this dark, misty thing. And this was in Crystal Lake in the last bathroom stall, which I never went back into, you know. And it plopped, like, on the side of the toilet and then bounced and left. And I was like, what was that? And it freaked me out, but my asthma left me. And I went back into the room, and my friend Mary's looking at me, and she's like, what happened? And, you know, we talk a little more than proper when we're around friends, don't we? So I told her what happened. And I just said, I expelled the demon. But I didn't say it like that, if you know me. And then that brought up a bunch of stuff like, how can Christians have demons? And so I'm like, I don't know, but I did. I saw what that was, you know. And so I'm in a church that doesn't even believe in that. And you know, I'm like... I just expelled a demon, you know, and they're like, wah, call the elders, you know. I'm kidding about that part, but they thought I was strange already because I had already been filled with the Holy Spirit, still in that church, and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and, you know, my life was radically changed. If you saw me before and then saw me now, which was young, people didn't know what to do with me. I was in a box that didn't fit any of their elder rules. And so, you know, I wasn't rebellious. I just was innocent and speaking as a child. And so I had to learn in the Word about demons and stuff. And you know, Satan, get behind me. You know, I'm like, oh, I get that now. You know. So I'm telling you that a lot of our sickness is not sickness. It's demonic oppression. And it's lies from the enemy that we've come into agreement with. And there's, you know, it happens. Do you ever get deceived? You ever been deceived? Yeah. And so when you are, when the thief is caught, you know, you speak to the Lord and say, hey, that's a thief. And, you know, Lord, I'm asking for a release from this demonic oppression. This is not my right. And I oftentimes, you know, like one time I had this neck ache, really bad neck ache, and I was putting up with it. I thought it was a strain, and then I'm like, wait a minute, this is a foul devil. And I couldn't see behind my eyes, you know, my head, and I'm like, you foul spirit, get out in the name of Jesus, and that thing left. My neck was fine. You know, one time, I cracked my rib moving a safe, and I was pushing on a safe, trying to get it to go in position, and I heard crack, and I was like, eh. And I'm like, the blood of Jesus, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me over 2,000 years ago. And I'm speaking life over my situation instead of, oh boy, I cracked a rib. I wonder how much this is going to cost. Oh, this is really bad. You know, you've got to watch the darts, because that's the hidden stuff, and it's also, you know, what the enemy's speaking. And I refused to come in alignment with what that devil was trying to put on me, even though I heard the crack. And so I didn't wrap it. I just was like, eh, every time I try to sneeze, it was very painful, sit, everything. But I know God's a healing God. I just know it. I don't know when, I don't know how, but he always heals. And he always heals me. I just know he will. And so, because his word says so. And so, you know, a week went on and I'm still not healed and I'm going to the services because I didn't know how to, you know, speak the word over myself. I thought you had to go to somebody to get a healing. Well, you don't. You know, you got the Holy Ghost. And there are people with special gifts, but when I got prayer, I didn't get healed that time. And I, you know, there's a season. Sometimes there's a delay. You know, you remember when there was the fight in the heavenlies and Daniel was like, you know, fasting and praying. Your prayer was answered right away, but there was a delay. Sometimes there's a demonic delay, and things have to get worked out. So don't give up. Just keep speaking life over your body parts. And so in my case, the delay was there, and pain is pain. Pain is real. You know, it's a signal from God so that we deal with it and not like, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, you get that. And so the day came when I didn't think my healing, you know, I went to like two services and I still had an issue. I'm like, okay. I'm standing in front of the first aid section in a Walgreens, and I'm looking at like those wraps to wrap your ribs. And I'm looking at them, and I'm just about to touch one of them, and the Holy Spirit says, do you really want that? I said, no. Now, he didn't say, I'm going to heal you tonight or press in or speak this. I said, no, and I left. That was an act of obedience. Now, I'm not smart enough to know what God's doing. I'm not. I'm just this kid hanging out with them. But I did get healed, and it did happen at a service, and it was wonderful. Now, there was a time when I was going away, I was going to go away with the Lord, I was going to go work at this little cabin for someone and just bless them and do some work and hang out and just, I couldn't wait to get locked away with the Lord, you know, no phone, no nothing, it's just him and me, but I wanted to bless these people, so I decided to side part of their cabin. And so I pick up the siding, it's late at night, now I'm in the middle of the woods, there's no doctors, there's nothing around, somebody had put nude gravel down in a driveway, and it's a dead-end thing, and I pulled the trailer in. It's late. It's dark, and it was in the winter, so it's probably 6 at night or something, and I'm tired, and my gas tank's on empty because I just wanted to get there because I was excited, and I didn't plan on leaving until I left at the end of that weekend. And I was like, I don't want to turn this trailer around because it's too hard, so I disconnected it. And it's a big old snowmobile trailer. When I disconnected it, I had my hand underneath the place that goes on the ball of a trailer. It's called, you know, and I picked it up and I started to move it and the trailer got away from me and it came back and it pinned my hand into the back of the wheel on the back of the car. You know, sometimes they have a tire on the back of the wheel and it crushed my hand. And I immediately went into shock, you know, because it was a trauma. And the trailer just dropped, you know, because my hand was crushed, and then the trailer fell to the ground. And I looked at my hand, and my knuckle was way up here. And it started to swell. And I'm like, the blood of Jesus, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I break this assignment in the name of Jesus. I will not come into agreement with this assignment. Now, I've never been spitting mad in my life. I didn't even know what that meant. But I was spitting words of life over my hand. I was like, you know, firing as fast as I could. Any scripture I knew was popping out of me. And it wasn't really me, it was the Holy Ghost. Because I was in trauma mode. And I refused to come in agreement because I knew the thief had came and tried to steal from me. I knew God had a blessing and a lockaway time, and I was like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not what God said. And so I'm spitting mad, and I go inside this cabin, and there's one of those little blue blocks of ice, you know, those small ones that are hard as can be, the worst thing you could put on an injury. But I knew I needed to get ice on it, and so I put ice on it, and immediately, you know, trauma causes your body to release certain things, and I immediately felt very nauseous. And I thought, I'm like, no weapon formed against me, and I'm speaking life over my hand, spitting, and I'm laying it there, and I put a cloth on, and I reached out to a friend and said, hey, I need prayer. I didn't say what it was, because I don't ever want to give license of agreement to something that is not in the will of God. That's good. And so I said, I need prayer. And I'm not one of those that send out I need prayer that often. So, you know, it wasn't like, I need prayer, the wind is blowing and it's bothering my hairdo, you know. Just saying. Milk. So, at the same time this is all happening, the enemy is firing dart after dart after dart. This is really bad. Look, this is really bad. You better go to the hospital. You don't have insurance. At that time, the Lord said, no insurance. And so I was just living his will. It was so constant, the loudness of the enemy's voice, for me to come into agreement. And I was like, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I speak life. I command this knuckle to go back in place. I command the swelling to go down. I break the enemy's attack over my life. Jesus is Lord over me. And I'm just pounding the bullets of scripture of life over my situation. And I'm sitting there, and at the same time, my body is in trauma, and I'm sick to my stomach, and it's not good. But I refuse to get up and expel. So I'm like, this ice pack is on my hand. It hurts like nothing I've ever experienced before. And all of a sudden, I feel like a trickle of water. You know when water melts, like ice melts down your back, it like... And I lift up the ice pack, and I see my knuckle being pushed back into place. And I'm like, you know, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. I didn't speak it, but it's like, oh my gosh. He pushed my knuckle back into my place, into place. And so now I still have ice on it because it hurts. It's there's still trauma, but I know a creative miracle is taking place. And I'm like, you lying, foul devil, get out in the name of Jesus. And I'm, you know, I'm, and so then I'm like, well, I'm not going to let this stop me. I was going to do siding. So the siding is the wrong siding, so I have to take it back to the store, which is a half-hour drive. So I got to hook the trailer back up, spin that thing around, keep my hand in ice, because it's, but I know God's doing something. So I get in the car and do all that, and I got my hand in I had that ice pack because I didn't have any ice. So I stop at the gas station to get gas because I'm on empty, and I'm like, I should get a cup of ice. So I go in, and I'm using my hand to pump gas, by the way. I'm not favoring this thing. And I go inside to get a cup of ice. I find the ice. I get it, and I bring it up. I said, what do I owe you for the cup of ice? And she goes, oh, my God, look at your hand. You need to go to the hospital. I go, I break those words in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, I was healed. And the ice is free. Go. You know, so I go to Menards to return the plywood, you know, all this T-111 stuff. And you have to go through the gate because it's a big load. So it's not like simple, here's my jar of mayonnaise I bought that I changed my mind on at the service counter. It's a process. And so I have to go through the thing, and the guy's like, look at your hand. You need to go to the hospital. What did you do? See, he wanted me to say, oh, I hurt my hand. I'm like, my hand is healed by the stripes of Jesus. And he's like, oh, okay. He runs away, you know, and so they take the wood off, and they load me with the new wood, and the guy that's bringing the new wood, he goes, oh. I go, yeah, God's healing my hand, look. I said, my knuckle used to be over here, but here it's now. This just happened. And he goes, I get it, amen, or something like that. Like, he was like, okay, sister, go in peace, hallelujah. And so I thought, well, I haven't eaten. I'm going back, there's no food there. I was going to fast, but I might as well eat. So I stop at the restaurant, and I'm like, hey, could I get a cup of ice? Oh, my God, look at your hand. I'm like, I break those words in the name of Jesus. By his stripes I was healed, I am healed, and I'll always be healed. And so I get back. And it's the swelling keeps going down and down and down, and then there's no swelling, and you know, I could first go like this, but then I'm doing this, and then I'm like this, and I'm like, amen. But the one thing, I wake up the next day and it's bruised, and I say, Lord, what about the bruising? He said, you didn't ask about the bruising. I'm like, oh, so I commanded all bruising to go. And it did. See, God is a healing God. He delights in bringing life back into proper position. And I know there's people that are hungry. And I know some of you are like, I do believe, but I don't believe. I've been in a season. When I broke my ankle years ago, when I first started chasing after the Holy Ghost, I'd go anywhere Edgar and Holly were. And they were going to minister in Indiana. And I had finally gotten permission, like, to be away from my kids. You know, my husband's like, yes, you can go. It was like a miracle. I had prayed that thing in, and all excited, had everything lined up, and I was going to go to this retreat that they were hosting in Indiana. And my son, I was cooking dinner, spaghetti dinner that night, and we lived on a farm. And my son, who's, I don't know how old he was, probably 7, 8, I don't know. He's like, Mom, can I take a hot lap on the snowmobile? I'm like, yeah, go ahead, stay in the yard. Well, he took a hot lap, and I didn't hear him. I'm like, hey. So I got on the kid's sled, which is a little old 250 Suzuki 1970-something with no suspension, and I'm so thankful that I just put a helmet on. You know, I didn't put it on, but I just put it over my head, and I only did it because it was cold out. I didn't do it for safety. And I went out to find him because it's a farm, you know, and I couldn't see him. And so he was way on the edge of the property line is where he was. And so I said, son, I don't want you out this far. You have to come back in closer. Stay in our little area, because we had a track and stuff. And I felt bad because I, you know, disciplined him. So I said, let's do a hot lap. So we did a hot lap through, he had a motocross track there. And I hit a bump, a whoop, they call it. And I went airborne in the snowmobile. And I remember thinking, gosh, I'm way up high in the sky, you know. And I looked down, and I can see the ground below me. I mean, I really took a lunch. And I came straight down and landed on my feet. And so I shattered my lower leg and ankle. And it was really a bad injury. And the pain was so bad, you know, they had to get a truck out there and then took me to the hospital. And my father-in-law took me to the hospital. And, you know, I tried to be a good wife around my father-in-law, so I hardly swore, like, bad words. But there was not a swear word that wasn't being released at that moment. The pain was so bad, and I think he blushed, you know, and, you know, I want to tell you something, but I got delivered of that thing, too, you know. God, if you keep pressing in, you'll get changed, you know. And that was a serious issue in my heart. I was a cusser. I mean, every other word since I was a kid started with an F. And It was the language I lived with. And so God had cleaned that out of me. It took a long time, pressing in. Lord, this isn't of you. Lord. And finally, I got a full release on that. But anyway, my foot was so shattered that you couldn't even touch it. You know, they couldn't touch it, and they weren't sure what to do with me. And so they gave me medicine, but nothing worked. The pain was just terrible. And I was laying in bed asking the Lord to take me home. You know, Lord, please take me home. I can't handle the pain. I had one nurse that was so miserable. She just like felt like she just picked it up and threw it down, you know, when she would move a pillow. She didn't, but that's what it felt like. She had no compassion. And I was crying out, Lord, please take me home. And guess who walked in the door? Edgar Bailey. He laid hands on me and the pain lifted and for a season. And I expected to be healed instantly right then and there. Right then and there, because the man of faith, that man has popped eyeballs in people through Jesus. And so I was believing for my healing. I was believing that I wouldn't need surgery. Well, I ended up having surgery, and the surgery was botched, and so I had to have another surgery. But I kept breaking the agreement. They kept saying, you're going to have arthritis. I said, I break those words in the name of Jesus. Every time they'd show an x-ray, you're going to have arthritis. I break those words. I will not come into agreement with that. And so I did the best I could with what was going on. And am I going too long for you?
No.
Okay. And so what ended up happening was my foot, because it got healed, they did surgery wrong, it fused. It wasn't fused with, I had pins and screws and all that, but I dragged my leg. So I walked like this because I had no movement in my ankle. And it was very painful. And I'm in faith. People would come up. They'd pray for me, and they'd say, you must be in sin, or God would have healed you already. I'd be like, am I in sin? Hey, Lord, am I in sin? Is that why I'm not getting my healing? That's called ignorance. They don't know the word. God doesn't bring that type of message. That's through judgment and filters. But it would lead me into doubt. You know, maybe he doesn't want to heal me. Let me tell you something. He wants to heal all his children all the time, every day, all the time. And if there's a delay, sometimes it's not us. But he doesn't do it he doesn't prolong delay so that he can show anything about how great you are or you persevere. That's not God. God's instant. When he breathes life, there is. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to breathe life, but I'm going to hold off on you because you don't measure up. None of us measure up.
That's right.
And so I had to go through that season of learning, be careful who prays for you. And so the time came, you know, my leg is not doing good, you know, but I'm still believing for healing. I know God, he heals. But I also know it's easier to enforce a healing when the attempt or the strike of the enemy happens. Before diagnostics, before medication, speak life over that and watch life come forth and keep believing. In the early day, I didn't know that. You know, when that happened, I just knew to rebuke the words of arthritis, which I never got. And I didn't do anything like to treat arthritis. I never got it. I refused the package. Send it to someone else. I ain't taking it. So the day came when I go to conferences, I think, oh, is today the day I'm going to get my ankle healed? I always was expecting a healing on my ankle. I never not expect one. Whenever I have anything that's a little out, I always expect everything from God all the time. And so I'm at conferences, nothing. Partial, little movement, nothing. Well, okay, does God want to heal me? Yes, he does want to heal me. Did I blow it when I swore? No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. God's always healing. And so... The day came, I used to help with the youth, because nobody else would. They didn't want to take the school-age kids into the city to worship with the other church families. They didn't want to do it, and I loved doing it because they knew how to worship. You know, they didn't sit here like this with their arms crossed and go. They were like jumping up and down, like bunny rabbits, and I was like, look at that abandonment. You know, I wish I could worship like that, Lord. Teach me how to worship. You know, I want to be free. I was so bound. And so one day, I'm at a conference, and the Lord says to me, I'm watching this young person up at the front. I'm way in the back. And I'm watching this young person, just abandonment to the Lord, loving him and worshiping him. Kind of reminds me of the psalm that I read. You know, all her heart, everything was focused on Jesus. She wasn't in it for her deal. She was in it for his deal. And I'm watching her just jump up and down like a little bunny rabbit. And I'm like, not like, oh, I wish I could do that. I was more like, wow, look at her worship him. She's got something I don't have. Lord, I want that. I want to worship you like that. And so, you know, I'm just kind of fleshing and looking at what's going on in the room. And all of a sudden, I hear Holy Spirit say, if you go up there and worship me, I'll heal you. And I'm like, you want me to go up there in the front? You know, that's my flesh. Dart, you know, that's the flesh. That's like, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. I will do what you say, but will you help me? Because I don't want to go up in front. I don't want people looking at me and, you know, me. And I'm like, I had a battle for like a 30 seconds. See, you got to be careful. When the Lord says do, you get a short window before the enemy says, did God say that? You know, because you're already thinking, did he say that? No, he said it. Get up and go when he says to go. And I had so many mishaps with that. So when he said that, it's all training. When he said that to me, you know, I walk up like this. This is how I walked. And I winked all the way to the front of the sanctuary. And I stood next to that girl. And I just started to worship him. And it started in my heart, not my head. And I was thinking how good he is. And how blessed I am to be able to worship him. And I felt this thing, and I just started to jump, and my ankle loosed, or whatever you call it, and I started going like this. And I'm like, oh my God, I got healed, my ankle is healed. I wasn't even expecting the healing. And I couldn't stop jumping up and down. You know, for I think a couple years, I was dragging my leg. And so I'm like, they called me the Energizer Bunny Rabbit, and I went up and testified up on the stage, and I was so gone in God. And when I got home, my husband was eating a bowl of cereal. It was quite late at night, and he's sitting at the kitchen table. And I'm like, guess what? He's eating his Rice Krispies or whatever it was. I go, I got healed. My ankle got healed tonight. That's nice, honey. You know, he didn't believe me. You know, he just didn't. And we've had healings in our house. When my son hurt himself, his knee went out on a dirt by accident. We laid hands and watched that knee go back into place. So he knows. He's like, that's, you know. So the next day, I started walking. Because I could, you know, when you have an injury, you have limitations. I thought, I'm going jogging. I put on my little jogging outfit and started walking. And I lived, at this time, I lived at this really long driveway. And then a county road, and I walked, and I didn't stop. And what happened was, I started worshiping him even more, and it was like I was praying, and it just, the revelation and the life, and it just was wonderful times, those walks. And then what he would make me do, he'd make me wave to people as they drove past. Shy Lori. By the end, and the funny thing is I ended up in marriage counseling. And one of the ladies that works there, are you the lady that used to walk and wave? I'm like, yes, I am. She goes, I live in this house down the road. I'm like, okay. And he was breaking me out of myself. Yeah. You know, walking for me. No, it's all about him. And so as I was praying this morning, he was reminding me of some of these wonderful things that he's done in my life. And I know I know some of you guys have had creative miracles. I know some of you guys have had healings. And I know God's in the healing business. And he said to me, there's some people that are hurting today. And I don't want them to leave without what I want to put in them. And so I'm not saying how he's doing it, because I don't know, but I know he is. And it may come from this session. It may come from the next session. It may come from when you're walking down the hallway, you think you're going to the bathroom, and then all of a sudden, there it is. Don't Don't let the enemy say, I didn't get my whatever. Listen, you're here in his presence. You have it all. Receive it all. And don't measure what it looks like, because when you measure it, you've capped. Does that help you? Okay, so I was in a place in heaven this morning, and I wasn't going to share this because I just didn't know how to give it words, but he gave me a scripture, and the scripture was, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And I was dwelling in one of the many dwelling places. I used to take that scripture as, when you go home, you'll get a house, a mansion. Anyone who means. Might mean that to some people, but I saw the word open today, and I'm going to go back and immerse in him to get revelation on this, because it just opened. But what I want to say is, when you're in him, and I'm not special, know this, it's not me. He wants to do this. If it was me, Lori, the old person, I'd be like, I'm ready for coffee. You know, I'm done. But he's not. And he's always on. He never says, no, don't come to me. Coffee closed. I'm on my coffee break. He says, come, all those who are weary. Come, those who are broken. Come, and I will give you life. And so he's got life. And so as I was praying, I got caught up, and I saw some wonderful things. And I don't want to speak them because they're not corporate. They're individual things. And I don't even know them all because I can't contain them. But he's got them. And so I felt like we were going to do like a prayer line this morning. And if you want something from the Lord, I don't know what it is. It's a package from heaven that he has with your name on it. We're going to have a line come up here. But I want to say a couple things, because don't feel like you have to come if you don't want to. But if you feel a tug, but you're like, I'm afraid, ask the Lord, ask Holy Spirit to help you. Call on Jesus' grace to receive. And then I want to say one more thing. Stay in right now. Don't think, okay, this is a good time for me to go to the bathroom or check my phone. I want to tell you a story that happened to me. Years ago, I'm desperate, crying out to the Lord, you got to change me, I'm a wreck. Every other word is F. And I'm coming to the services. I'm a wreck, we are all a wreck, and we get changed into his image as we continue to press into him. But only by his grace, he washed me through the blood of the Lamb. And I've been forgiven for that stuff. I had one thing that was hanging on me years ago that really grieved me. And one day I was at a conference, and I felt the Lord just pull that out of me. And I was like, wow, that was pretty easy. You know, because I was holding it, but he wanted it, and I gave it to him. So anyway, it will come in different forms and different ways. It's not a lightning blast from heaven always. It could be. It might be just a warm feeling of his love that, and you know, wraps his arms around you. We don't know, because he speaks your language, because his language is love. And we're all a little different in that area. And so one thing I want to say is, whenever I come to the front for prayer, you know, in the old days, Holly and Edgar would have prayer lines, and I couldn't hear real well. And so I would go up and ask the Lord, you know, Lord, I just need to know about this. And I'd go in the prayer line, and the line would be pretty long. And there would be different groups of people. Some would be like talking to each other, and some would be making plans to go out afterwards. And I'm like, Lord, you got to help me. I'm such a wreck. Lord, I'm miserable. Lord, I know you're real. I know your truth. I know your life, but I don't even know what this means. You got to help me. And there were some serious issues pressing down on me. And one day I went up for prayer to Holly in her line, and so she would have been standing like this, and I'm standing in front of her, and I've got my eyes closed. I'm not looking to see what she's saying. I'm looking to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And there's a cry of the heart. You know the heart's cry? And I've got the heart's cry, and I'm just, you know, I'm beat up and wore out, and I need to hear from the Lord. And all of a sudden, I don't even remember the word she spoke, if she even released a word. But I saw this bolt of lightning come down. It hit me like in my torso, and went through my feet, and I was standing there, and I ended up way over there. And I was, I left Earth and traveled at the speed of faster than light. And my, I used to have long hair back then, and my hair was straight back. My cheeks were straight back, and I was like propelled. And it felt like giant rubber bands, you know, that just got cut. And when I went to heaven, I was taken in a room, and I'm not going to go into the details of it, but it was life-giving. Now, did I search out for a bolt of lightning from heaven? No, I didn't even know about them, truthfully. But what happened was I spent some time there, on the floor, but in heaven. And God set me free in some very deep areas in my life and put some stuff in me and spoke life over me. And it was like, when I came back to Earth, it felt like 2 minutes, but it was 45. I think that's what they said. And I'm in heaven, but in Earth, my feet were swinging up and down, they told me, and I was saying, wahoo, or something like that, I don't know. Whee! Now, in those days, if you knew me, I was the shyest person on Earth. So that would have never been me doing that in the natural. At the time it was happening, I could feel the coals. And in the natural, I was dripping in sweat. And my lips were so dry, I remember, because I ate a coal. And I was undone. I thought, I'm going to combust. I'm going to combust. His presence was so consuming, I couldn't contain it, and I felt like I'm busting. And I didn't care. I'm like, I'll stay here forever. Let me combust. You know. And so what happened was, when it was time for me to come back, I didn't want to come. And he said, you must go back. And so I did. And when I got up, I was a staggering drunk. I was weak. Couldn't walk. And we went out to the restaurant, and I couldn't even drink tea. I was like, and I went and looked in the mirror of the bathroom, which I normally don't do, but I'm like, I was going to try to fix my hair because I felt like it was still back, you know. I brought back a residue, and I'm looking in the mirror going, how could this be? I don't get it. And so I was so heavily under his presence. His cloud was so strong on me, I had barely enough energy to move. And so I got home late that night, snuck into bed, and the next day when I woke up, he was still on me. And I my family thought I had the flu, and I let them think that, because I thought, I'm not getting up to cook breakfast. I'm staying in this. And I did feel sick, but not sick like in the natural. Deliverance. You know, stuff was coming out. He was purging. That fire was burning stuff that was deep in me. Corruption and then life. And, you know, I thought, after a day, because I lived a very busy life in those days. The second day, The third day, And you know, and I could never fast in those days. I would get a headache after 2 hours. And I did. And then I didn't eat that first day. I didn't eat the second day. And I didn't eat the third day. I wasn't even thinking about eating. And then I don't know which day, but then I'm like, am I eating? He's like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. And what he was doing, he was breaking. He had broke through the barriers of time to reclaim what was his and restore what was broken and place inside of me his structure for such a time as this. I don't know what it means, but I'm telling you. And so I'll just give you the end of the story. It's not the end, but it's like a chapter. I didn't eat for 40 days. Now, I did do like a juice and stuff like that, but I didn't leave. He was on me. And I would sit outside, and one of the first things I said, can I come here anytime? You know, this was like, oh, you know. And he said, yeah. And then he said to me, he asked me a question. He said, when's the last time you cried? And I said, I cried when my son got in real bad trouble in front of the church. And I cried when I got married. Not because I was sad, but, you know, just cried. I don't know why, actually. I just cried. I was, you know, weepy. And that was like 1,000 years ago, it seemed. And I'm like, oh. He asks questions not because we know the answer, but because he's offering us an opportunity for a doorway to open that we shut. And so, of course, me being the doer, getter done, I wanted to get this thing over with. And so I'm trying to cry. First, I had to look up what emotions were because I didn't know. I only knew anger and rage. And so I had to learn. So where do you learn? Well, the dictionary. You know, that's where I learned. They didn't have Google back then. And so I'm reading about emotions and, oh, okay, happy, sad, angry. You know, and I'm thinking, I remember going to counseling when I was a druggie for this, you know, and something about a starfish and they grow back, which was whatever, you know. Lord help her. So be careful who you allow to minister to you or counsel you. And so I remember, you know, going back to Holly for prayer because I got to get this thing done. I'm on to the next thing in God. I want to cry. God says I haven't cried. I want to cry. Cry, cry. So, and of course, I had these weird shoes back in those days. They were like Docker shoes and they had little hearts on them. And I'm sharing the story with a few of the people I hung with and the ones like prophesying off my shoes, which was totally the flesh, but you know, the hearts of your shoes are going to cause you to cry, and this is a sign from God, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? And that thing of rage and anger came up. You know, I know that emotion. Not love, but I know anger. And I'm like, what, is she nuts? And, you know, and I'm like, okay, whack-a-doodle. So, whack-a-doodle, aisle one. So, I'm like, desperate, and this lady's a whack, and so I'm like, I'm mad now, okay, because that's the emotions I know, and so I go up for prayer, and oh, dear sweet Holly, prayer, and I'm waiting to get the word, you know, to unhook this cry thing. God, come on, do it, God. Holly's listening, and she looks at me, she says, are you mad at God? And I'm like, yes, I am. And so I'm waiting for the key, you know, the prophetic word to unhook my emotions. And you know what the key was? Stop it. She hurt my feelings. You know, she didn't. I was like shocked, but I needed a good Holy Ghost slap. You ever need a good Holy Ghost slap? And you don't expect it, do you? When it comes, it slaps. It's like, and then you're like, oh, I needed that. Thank you. You know. Thank you for getting me out of the pool of misery and poor me. Milk. So I went to God. Now, I could have said, she don't know what she's talking about. But I went to God. I said, Lord, what are you saying about this? And slowly, it wasn't instant. It was years of building those walls of self-preservation and protection. Slowly, he started to show me the issues of my heart and deal with them, not in my timeline, because it would have killed me. It was in his perfect timing. A little here, a little there, a little more, oh, and yes, some more. And so I'm saying that because we can't box him in. And how it happened, one night I'm in Psalms, and as a deer pants for water. And it was the release of many years of heartbreak, hurts, woundings, abuse, lies, accusations, torment. The valve of his grace opened. His love came flooding in.